Good morning. Well, this is it. This is the finality, if you will, the last of the top 10. If Mel Brooks hadn't have broke the other five, we'd have had five more to go. But anyway, we're going to conclude it today, and we're going to have the kids come up. Where are they? Are they here? They've done a coloring thing, and where are they at? There's Naomi, Titus, Zeke. Sunday school kids, come on up here. You should have a paper that Jane gave you and Marianne. We're going to let you read them. You can talk right in here. I'll get out of the way. Is there any more coming up?
Come on, Tyce.
He's coming up here. Come on, Douglas. Hurry. Watch that last step.
You okay? You okay?
All right. Say them real loud so they can hear you, okay? I can't hear you. All right, go ahead. Number one.
Have no gods but me. Do not worship idols. Use the gain for good. Keep the Sabbath day a holy day. Love and honor your parents. No murder. Be true in your life. Never always be honest. Don't be jealous.
All right, everybody, give it up for them. Come here, A, you might have to help me.
Chris.
He wants to hang out up here. Chris, help him down. Chris is going to help. All right, turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to conclude today on the Ten Commandments. Have you enjoyed them? Have they been beneficial to you? They've really helped me along the way. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. These things are useful. And I have found that I'm going to elaborate on what Judy said. I believe we've broken all 10 of them in one way, shape, or form. We really have. As we come to commandment number 10, I have some unfinished business to take care of. As of last week, we did commandment number 9, thou shalt not lie. And there was 4 points on your outline, and I only gave you 3 of them. So number 3, if you have those bulletins handy, you want to fill in the blank, it is be careful in secret and being too discreet. And what that basically means is, just because you're being quiet don't mean that you're being innocent. If you know something and you need to say something, then you need to do that. And I illustrated by using one of the themes at Toyota. If you see something, say something. And that's true with commandment number 9. You can be quiet and still be guilty of violating that commandment. As we come to number 10, do not... I'm going to read it with you. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it, because I don't think we turn there near enough. Exodus 20, in verse 17, says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Now, you think we don't covet? As a nation, I believe we do covet, don't you? We covet what someone else has. We look across the driveway at our neighbor, and we see what they have, and we want it. Or we have to compare to it, or we have to get something as equivalent to it. Do not covet. Now, let's put this in layman's terms. Do not covet. So, we don't have too many oxen nowadays. We don't have too many donkeys and manservants and maidservants. We do have hired hands on the farm. And let me put it in layman's terms. Do not covet your neighbor's John Deere tractor if you have an International. I got no amens from Tim. But in reality, commandment number 10 is probably the stickiest. I call it sticky. It's the stickiest of all the other commandments because it's probably one we break more than any other commandment here in America. We covet. Now, whether you admit to it or not, you do, to some degree or another. Clothes, cars, houses, bank accounts, even retirement. I hear all kinds of people living. They're living on a limited income because I'm retired. Any of you say that? I'm living on a... Stuart raised his hand. But you might compare your retirement, your 401k or whatever, to someone else's who's living a more luxurious life. Now, I want you to take this into consideration because I believe number 10 envelopes all the other commandments. And let me explain. If you substitute something for God, whether it is an object or a person, that is not only covenant, but that is breaking commandments number 1, 2, and 3. If you're possessed with working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, just so you can make more money to impress the people that you don't even like, then you are breaking commandment number 4 by not honoring the Sabbath day because you need to take a day off, amen? And some of you even told me that I need to get more rest. And then thirdly, if you disobey your parents, you murder, commit adultery, or you fornicate, or you steal, or you bear false witness, then you are not only coveting the things of this world, but you are violating commandments number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Can I just say these are tough? These are tough to keep. And you might be thinking, well, this is 3,500 years ago, and Moses was going through this tough time with the Israelites. They were coveting each other's manservant, maidservants, oxen, and everything else that goes along with that. This is not a problem in our 21st century world. Everybody go, it is a problem. And it is something that we struggle with here in America. Did you know that we're better off than any other country in the world? How many of you knew that? How many of you still believe that? I still believe it. Even in the midst of our mess, we're still the greatest nation on planet Earth, yet we complain more than any other nation there ever was. But you know what? When you take commandment number 10 and you cut a little bit here and you pace a little bit there, pretty soon you've got everything but what God's trying to say. Did you know that there are over 35 million laws in this land? Over 35 million. So what they've done, they've taken these Ten Commandments and they've tried to stretch a little bit into what they want it to do. Or they've tried to subtract it so that it can comply with their lifestyles. But you know what? They're relevant. Not just 3,500 years ago, they are relevant today. And I want you to know we need to learn how to keep them. We really do. So let's tackle this last commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, his wife, manservant, maidservant, donkey, ox, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. It's a problem. So listen to this. My house is nicer than your house. My car is nicer than your car. My wife is prettier than your wife. My kids are better than your kids. My dad could whip your dad. My hired hand is better than your hired hand. My green tractor is better than your red one. No amens. I farm more ground than you do, so ha ha ha. And I can go on and on and on. My church is bigger than your church. My preacher is better looking than your preacher. Amen. My school is better than your school. My football team is better than your football team. We won't go there. And how about this one? My jeans has more holes in them than yours does. Now, I better stop there because that is all coveting. Wanting to have something better than someone else. And we all struggle with coveting in one way or another. This past Tuesday, Macy was 12 years old. Everybody say happy birthday, Macy. Who else's birthday is tomorrow? Who else had a birthday? Where's Bill? Did you have a birthday tomorrow? Yesterday, 88 years old, give it up for him. Somebody down here has a birthday. Who is it? How old? 15. All right, give it up for her. Okay. Anyway, that's completely off the subject. We went to Procopio's. Anybody ever been to Procopio's? It's a pretty good place to eat. Well, we were celebrating Macy's birthday, so we ordered, and Zachary ordered pizza. Surprise, right? Gracie ate the pizza with Zachary. Ching ordered shrimp and noodles. My mother ordered a chicken salad. She did really well. And I ordered lobster and, I forgot, what's it called? Scallops. Anybody ever order that? So they bring it out, and Zachary gets his first. Of course, you know, he's got this great big old pizza, and him and the Gracie are sharing it. And then Mom gets her chicken salad, and Ching gets her shrimp and her noodles. And guess who gets their meal last? Me. So that's good, because it's going to be the biggest, right? So they bring me this bowl, and it is ravioli noodles that have something in them. So I'm looking here. I was like, well, this is a good appetizer. And I'm looking at it, tasting it. That's all right. And I keep looking at the waiter. And I look back, and I'm thinking, where's he going to bring me the rest of my meal? He never did. And my wife sarcastically said, that's it. That's all you get. And I said, where's the lobster? Where's the scallops? She said, they're in there. So I'm looking at my plate, and I got 7 of these ravioli things with the lobster and the scallops inside. How can you destroy a lobster and scallop by putting inside of a ravioli? And I eat all 7 pieces of my ravioli in about 5 minutes. And I'm just glaring across the table at my wife, who has this nice shrimp dinner. And my daughter Macy has those Bosco dips. You like those things? And she gave me half of one. So generous. And I'm coveting my wife's meal. And I'm coveting my son's pizza. And I'm coveting Macy's Bosco sticks. And I'm looking at my order, I'm thinking, wow, what a disappointment. Now, I still like Procopio's, and I'm not going to order that anymore. But you know what? I'm guilty of coveting my family's orders. I was not satisfied. Now, I really doubt if God is going to hold me accountable on Judgment Day because I coveted my wife's shrimp and noodles. Are you? I don't think he'll do that. But you know what? We covet larger stuff. We covet houses and cars, and people wear nice clothes. You know, they spend thousands of dollars on their clothes, and they'll go out and they'll buy this outfit just for one occasion. How many are you guilty? Raise your hand. Be honest. All right, both of you. You'll buy this expensive outfit just for this one occasion, not to mention anything like prom. And then you'll put that dress or whatever it is in the closet, and you'll never wear it again for the rest of your life. And you ladies that keep your gowns thinking that you're going to get in your wedding gown someday, good luck with that. But it's a sentimental thing that you hang on to. But I want you to know this morning that coveting is not something that is new in our era. It's not something that was even new in Moses' era. It is something that we have been dealing with from the beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 3, Eve coveted the forbidden fruit. And you and I die because of that. And so did she. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, King David looked over at Bathsheba and he coveted Uriah's wife. And he got her, didn't he? He coveted her. He had Uriah killed. He took Bathsheba to be his wife. He coveted. He lusted after her. In Matthew 26, 14 through 15, we find Judas coveting 30 pieces of silver and selling out our Savior cost him his life. At least he took his own. And in Luke chapter 18, 18 through 21, we find a rich young ruler who coveted his stuff so much that he would not sell what he had to follow Christ, and it probably cost his salvation. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, who coveted money, the money they sold for the ground. Instead of giving it to the apostles, they kept it, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. And it cost them not only their lives, it cost them also probably their soul. Why? I ask you this morning, why do people jeopardize what they have, and in doing so, maybe losing their salvation? It's an age-old problem, and there's really one remedy to covet to the sin of coveting. And write this down. It's not on your outline, but I want you to write the word contentment at the top of your page. Contentment. We need to learn to be content with what we have, and we need to stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. And that's the beginning of answer number one on your outline. We avoid coveting by learning to be content with what we have. Now, be honest with me this morning. How many of you are content with what you have? Several hands go up. That's great. That is a great gift that you have given to you by the Holy Spirit. But there are a lot of people who struggle with coveting. Stop looking at that new house and be content with the house you live in. Stop looking at that new car, that new truck, or that new motorcycle just because your neighbor got one, or Stuart Barnett got one, or somebody like that, and just be content with your 1986 Yamaha Phaser. Amen. Stop thinking that you have to have the latest designer clothes when you have a closet or a drawer that is full of them. And I do. I do. And stop looking at another person's spouse thinking, I wonder what life would be if I was married to her. You see, it's all right to admire what someone else has, but it becomes coveting when we begin to have an intense desire to have what they have. And it's okay to desire the kind of relationship that that man has with his wife, but it is coveting when you want her to be in your relationship with you. That becomes coveting. There is a big difference. Friends, when we become dissatisfied with what we have, what we drive, what we wear, who we're married to, we are standing on very shaky ground. Beginning today, learn to be content with what you have. I think that'll make you a better person. It'll make you more fun to be around. And it will help you from violating commandment number 10. In Philippians 4:4-13, it's kind of long, listen up. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. I say it again, rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, that's a tough one, isn't it? But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whether you have learned or received or heard from me or seen me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now listen to what Paul says. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is like to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I had to underline this in my Bible. I have learned the secret of being content. Now, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, okay, I'm content. I got it. I've got that secret. I learned it overnight. God gave it to me. It's probably not going to happen that way. It is something that takes time. It is a process. You don't just learn to be content overnight. It'd be nice if you were. Now, you might think that you learned it, but you really didn't. It is something that takes time to learn. I want to be more content, don't you, with what I have? I don't like Facebook Marketplace. Actually, that's not true. That's commandment number nine. I actually do like Marketplace on Facebook because I look at it all the time. Not to throw any numbers out there, but 2015 6.7 F-250 diesel, you know, I look at that a lot. And I said, hey, Ching, how about this? And she says, get it. Okay. No, I can't afford it. But I can look, right? But you know what? When I become content, I'm going to stop looking. And I'm going to be content with the truck I have or the car I have. I know what you're thinking. Them things are junk. I know, but they're still going. And I try to be content with them. But I don't know about you, but I want to learn the secret of being content no matter what. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6:6-10, just before his death, But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is what? The root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith, and they have pierced themselves with many griefs. Over the past 30 days, I have attended a lot of funerals. Is Sherry here today? I don't think she is. If Sherry were here today, she would say, oh, Carson, yeah, he's gone to a lot of funerals this week. I've either officiated them, or I've attended visitations or funerals, and I got another one Tuesday. And it's like, friends of mine are dropping like flies. You ever feel like that? And I read the obituaries every day, make sure my name's not in there. I do read the obituaries about every day. Just see who's there. I preached one just yesterday. But you know, of all these funerals I've preached, I walk by the casket and I look at the body there and I said, that's it. It's just the body. They don't get to take their car. They don't get to take their house. They don't get to take any of their money or their possessions. It's just them. That's it. And we brought nothing into this world. And let me assure you, you will take nothing out. There are no hearses pulling U-Hauls when you die. Learn to be content with what you have. Number two, stop worrying about what you don't have and be thankful for what you do have. If you have a house to live in, will you raise your hand this morning? If you have a car that you drove to this place, will you raise your hand this morning? If you have a closet or a dresser full of clothes, will you be honest and raise your hands? Thank you, Delight. Raise your hands this morning. Do you have food in your deep freeze? How about more food than what you really need? Some of you have not been to the bottom of your deep freeze for years now. You have plenty of food. Do you have a cupboard that has food shelf full of canned food on it? Raise your hand. If you believe we live in the greatest nation on planet Earth, will you please raise your hand? If you're able to take nourishment and breathe oxygen this morning, please try to raise your hand. Friends, do you realize that we have so much to be thankful for in America, yet we complain more than any other country? If you've ever been to a mission trip, especially to a third world country, which I have, my wife's country is a third world country. Those people over there have nothing. They live under a militia government who is crooked and cruel, and they'll kill you just if you look at them funny. And we've been over there, and I've seen what those people live like, and I've seen what they don't have. And then I fly back into America and I realize what we have and how spoiled we are. And yet we complain so much about what we do have, and we need to learn to be thankful for what we have. Matthew 6:31, Jesus tells us, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, right living. And all these things will be given to you as well. On top of everything that God has promised, He'll give you all these things. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough worries of its own. And we all say, amen. Now, I'll have you raise your hand one more time. How many of you people worry? Man, lots of hands. Why do we worry so much? We look around and God has given us so much that, and we have so much to be thankful for. And Thanksgiving's coming right up soon. And on that day, you need to write down what you had to be thankful for, because it is astronomical, the things we have to be thankful for. And you know what? We're in a difficult time right now, and I'm tired of this COVID, aren't you? I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of all the immorality in our world, and I'm sick of the breakdown of the family. And I'm sick of what's going on in our government. No amens, I know. I'm sick of what's going on in our schools. I'm tired of all the financial problems in our nation, in our homes. And I'm tired of the moral breakdown that we've seen in our nation. I'm tired of it. And I want you to know, it is hard not to worry. I've got 3 kids. Can I just tell you, it's hard not to worry about how they're going to end up, or what they're going to do for the rest of their life, where they're going to be, are they going to stay faithful to God? And it's easy to worry. But Jesus says, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Let worry take care of itself. In Luke 12, verse 25, Jesus says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he tells this parable. The ground of a certain man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Man, I want you to know today that we can sure relate to this parable, because when I look outside and look at the corn and beans, don't they look good? Probably the best year that farmers have ever had is this year, 2021, and they're going to have a bumper crop, and their bins are not going to be able to hold all the grain, and they're going to try to figure out what I'm going to do. Are they going to build bigger grain bins? I've never seen so many grain bins being built, or grain legs being put up on grain bins. They're getting prepared because it will be a bumper crop. Just yesterday, Ching and I were coming back from the funeral, and we stopped and did some mowing over at the farm, and I was looking at the cornfields. She was watching me. I was looking out of the cornfields of all the good corn crops coming up in one field right after another, all the way from West Salem to Lawrenceville. And she asked me this question. Do you miss it? And I looked at her and I said, sometimes. Sometimes I miss it. But then I realized that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be preaching. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's okay to miss those past loves you used to do in life and some of the things that stir up memories. But you know what? I like to preach. I hope you like me being here because I love to do what I'm doing. There is a temptation to covet the past. There is a temptation to go back and to change some things if we could, but we can't go back. We can learn from the past, but we can't go back. We need to learn to be thankful in the present. Amen. It's okay to project ahead of time and set goals for yourself. But here's the deal. Let's focus on today. Let's do our very best with what we have today. Because if we don't, we find ourselves worrying. Jesus says, stop doing that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, be joyful always, pray how often? Continually give thanks in every circumstance, even in the midst of. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And no matter what's going on in your life right now, as we speak, financially, physically, emotionally, socially, or spiritually, you can still be thankful because God sent Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross. The third and final way we avoid coveting is this. We need to set our hearts on heavenly things and not on earthly things. I don't mean to give you a news bulletin today, but you are dying today. Today you are one step closer to death than what you were yesterday. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Some wise scholar once said, every one in one person dies. Duh. And here's a humbling thought. From the very moment you take your first breath as a child, you begin to die. Now, isn't that humbling? But here's an even scarier thought. Not being ready to die. That's scary. This past week, my wife and I were out in the garage, and she said, you've heard this before, what am I going to do with all this stuff when you're dead? Well, I said what any Christian would say, put it on Marketplace, or put it on Craigslist, or call somebody to come auction it off. That's what you do with it. And then I got to thinking, what about Kohl's and Michael's and Hobby Lobby and Walmart and all these clothes that you store up in your closet and all these things and all these sentimental things? What if you go before me? What am I going to do? Sell it on Marketplace, Craigslist, eBay. What would we do without Walmart? Amen. Oh, we dare not put any of our stuff up for sale because someday we might need it. We covet our stuff. We covet our time. I'm kind of reminded about the golfers who were out golfing one day, and they were on the 18th hole, and here come a funeral procession. And one of the golfers, he went over to the side of the green, took off his hat, and he just kind of took a moment. And the other golfer said, "Well, we didn't know you were such a sentimental kind of guy." And he said, "I'm not, but they're burying my wife today." Well, if Jim were here, he would appreciate that. But I'm not a golfer, so I'm off on that one. But you ever notice how much time and energy we put into our stuff, our things, the time of this world? Do you notice how much time we put into that? I have a brother-in-law. I don't think you care if I mention him today. His name's Dale Cadwalder. You met him, big old husky guy. And he quit GAF. Anybody ever heard of GAF? He worked at GAF for like 35 years. And I wonder, you know, you still got a lot of oomph left in you. Why you quit? You know what he said? He said, "I was tired of all the time they demanded of me, and I wanted to spend more time with my family." Pretty good answer. Friends, I want you to know the places that you work and the people that you hang around, they are going to milk you for everything they can. Can I get an amen? They don't care if you want off on Sunday. They want you to work. They want you to be there. They don't care about your family. What they care about is their business. There are a few good companies out there. But there are a lot of them that don't care. And all they want is your time and your talents. Learn to say no. In 1 John 1:15 through 17, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in this world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has or does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. But the world and its desires will pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives how long? Forever." And then Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6:19-21, "Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." We know about that, don't we, Tim? "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In retrospect, Jesus is not condemning money here. He is not condemning things. He is not condemning our time, but he is condemning our greed and our coveting. And basically he's saying, don't do that. That's the things of the world. Coveting is when you covet something you may not be able to afford, yet you spend money, you put it on a credit card, and you get it anyway because you want it. And even if you don't have enough money in your checking account to get it, you're going to pull out a credit card that you haven't used for a long time, and you're going to get that thing that you want. Whether you need it or not, you're going to put it on layaway, and that season's coming right up. And all you guys that have 20 grandkids, you're going to be seeing the blues. Because you spent $100 for each kid, and now you got to pay for it for the rest of the year. Don't make any comments. I know. That's coveting. Coveting, write it down, is an intense desire to have what someone else has and doing whatever it takes to get it. I'll read it again. It is having an intense desire to have what someone else has and doing whatever you have to do to get it. I want to close these Ten Commandments and coveting with an assignment to give you. Here's your assignment. Sometime this week. Now, hey, how many of you are going to do it? I'll preach on commandment number 9 again if you raise your hand and don't do it. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go home and take an inventory of what you have. You ladies, you go in your closet, you go in your kitchen, you take inventory of what you have. You can shorthand a little bit. But I want you to take inventory of what you have. You guys go out to the garage. You know the place where your car is supposed to go? But it can't go because you have so much stuff. I want you to take an inventory of your stuff and write it down and give it to your spouse so they can hang on to it. And this is what I want you to do. And it gets more serious here. I want you to take an inventory of your life. I want you to think about your life. About the time you spend in prayer, the time you spend reading God's word, the time you spend going to church, the time you spend evangelizing to people that are lost and out of this world and going to hell. take that of your life. And then I want you to pray about it. I want you to know something. Time is running out for us. Amen? It's running out. And you're not getting any younger, and I'm not getting any younger, and I have friends and family that are not Christian, and if they die today, guess where they're going? They're going to hell. I want you to take an inventory of your stuff, but I also want you to take an inventory of your life. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pray today. Father God, we thank you for these 10 commandments. They're tough. My toes still hurt. I'm not just preaching to these people. I'm preaching to myself. Lord, help me to focus more on you. Lord, help me to watch the words I say that does not give dishonor to you. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to take a day off. Not just to take a day off just because the Bible says so, but to take a day off because I need some spiritual refreshment. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to, I don't have a father anymore, but I sure do have a mother. I pray you'll help me to honor her and obey her. Lord, I pray that you'll help me not to kill or steal or lie or covet. But Lord, help me to focus more on you. To realize that all these things that we have, our home, our car, our house, they are meaningless compared to the eternity that we have with you. Lord, help us to focus more on heaven and less on earth. And Lord, as we take an inventory of our lives and our stuff, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be honest. And at the end of the day, help us realize that all this stuff is meaningless compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.